I don't think I've ever preached with feathers on the stage, and so this will be new for me. Brian, I hope you didn't wear that on the MTR coming here. Turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Thank you to the YWAM team. It's when we first started the church 9 years ago, we obviously wanted to be a very missions-minded church. I know the word that people are using these days is missional. And so we spent a lot of time doing trips all over the world. And a couple of years ago, it dawned on us that we're not really doing that much in Hong Kong. And I'm very, very pleased to let you guys know. And if you guys came to the town hall, we announced this already. But most of our missions funding actually now goes to Hong Kong. And this is the home that God has given to us. And I don't know what the percentage is from the giving, missions-wise, but the majority of that is spent here locally, and I think that's a real blessing. That's, you know, it's a good time to clap or do something like that. You know, thank the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to continue on in our theme of the Lord's Prayer. So let's read this together, Matthew 6. Let's read from verse 9. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. He says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for already such a full service, Lord. We thank you for the amazing time of worship, God, that where you allowed us to come into your presence, Lord, and really express, Lord, the things that are deep in our hearts that pertain to you and to the kingdom of God and to our lives. And we bless you for that time. We thank you for the time of offering that we can continue to worship, God, by giving to you what you've already given to us, God. And it's not payback, Lord, but it's our hearts being presented to you, God, in thanksgiving for what you've given to us. And we thank you for the presentation, God, and we really all do want to be free in you, God. Lord, the Bible tells us it's for freedom that Christ set us free. And so we thank you for the presentation, Lord. And now we humbly come to your word, and we ask you to speak to us, God. Lord, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself. I ask that you use me today to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. We bless you, God. Lord, help me not to just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. We bless you, Lord. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so if you've not been around, let me just do a couple seconds of getting us up to speed. This is the year of prayer for us as a church, and so I'm teaching the whole year on prayer, as not just myself, but our whole pastoral staff. And we started off with talking about what prayer is. We started talking about why do we pray, and now we're getting into the section of how can we pray, or how do we pray, and we're using the Lord's Prayer as a model. And this prayer is not a recital, or it's not something that like an incantation. The Lord's Prayer is following the rabbinical model of teaching, where there's a topic and then a script or understanding that comes under the topic. The Lord's Prayer is actually six topics that are at work, and now we're getting to the second part. So this is part two of how to pray, which is part three of the whole big analysis. So if I want to go through all this, it's going to really confuse you. And so just know that we're coming to this place now. We start off the Lord's Prayer, and it's start off with worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, Lord, we lift your name up. And then we're actually getting into now basically the meat of what we call the prayer as we move forward. Now we're going to pray for his kingdom to come. In the Greek, this verse in verse 10 of Matthew, in the Greek, the verb is actually placed in the beginning and not at the end, which is what our translations say. And so a more accurate translation, I'm not saying that the one you have is bad, but a more accurate translation is probably better to say, "Come, thy kingdom be done your will. So let's do that. Follow up, right? Let's say this. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Come, thy kingdom be done, your will. The translation says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It sounds in the it sounds a bit passive. Come, thy, you know, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. But the verb comes before. And so this is not just the way that it's structured. It's also what we call an imperative command. In other words, when you say something like this, there is an unction that is upon us, and we just don't say, come, thy kingdom, be done your will. Come, thy kingdom, be done your will. It's if I'm in a, and this is not very good parenting, but I'll just tell you how I do it. Sometimes when I'm asking my kids to do something, and they're not listening to me, and I ask him 5, 6, 7 times, then it's like, hey, come! You guys understand the gist. That's what we call an imperative command. Someone is not listening to you, kids, girlfriend, wife, you know. did I say that? I meant husband. And when those things, then we get into this imperative mode. So that's what the writers of the scriptures are trying to tell us. And this is the imperative command. This is forceful. This is coming from the unction of God in our lives, and we're commanding something to happen. That's very, very contrary to many of us in our prayer lives, where we act as beggars before God. And that's, oh, please, pretty please, God, can you please do this for me? Can you please? That's not the scriptures here. It's imperative command. You command the kingdom of God to come. You command his will to be done here on earth. So then we get to the next part. So come thy kingdom, be done your will. And the it says on earth as is in heaven. This is actually written in past tense. And you know the whole idea of studying Greek and Hebrew and whatnot? It's not really for the vocabulary. The vocabulary helps a little bit. But what really is useful is actually the sentence structure. When you begin to realize the tense of words and the kind of where the imperatives are at, that's where you really can understand the scope of what the guy is saying or the author is saying. And in this context, this is written in past tense. In other words, a better translation, it should read, on earth as it already has been done in heaven. It's past tense. That makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference because the reason why you can command, and this is the key. You don't just command anything. The reason why you can command his will, and it's not like you're telling God to do something. We're not commanding God to do something, but we can command because God's already done it. Do you see that? It's a huge difference. We're not trying to twist God's arm, and we do as parents do that. We yell and we scream because we're trying to elicit a response, but that's not what we're trying to do. What we're saying is we can yell and scream and we can command because the response is already done. And so we're asking for the translation of heaven to come down here on earth. Huge, huge difference. And if you can really grasp this, it will revolutionize your prayer life. Because there are some things that are God's will, that is the kingdom of God. And so when you get to that part of your prayer, you know this is God's will. We're not sitting as beggars and saying, pretty please, God, can you please do this? In fact, I'm going to change my behavior. I'm going to go on a fast. I'm going to go on a mission trip. I'm going to do these things. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to break up with this girlfriend or this boyfriend. And we come with all these conditions with God because we're so unsure of what God's will is. But when you can be sure of God's will, as it already has been done in heaven, we can command. We can say, hey, salvation, come now. This belongs to my dad. This belongs to my mom. We can say, healing, let it be done right now in Jesus' name. And there's a force by which we pray. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. That really begins to move upon us. Now notice, we're going to break this up a little bit. It says, come thy kingdom. So the first thing that you have to recognize, we're not asking for our will to be established here. We're asking for God's will to be established, for his kingdom to come. This first part of the prayer deals with us aligning our will to God's will. This is key, friends. When we talk about having an effective prayer life, one of the keys of having an effective prayer life is not always just praying our will, not always putting our agenda out there, but God, what is your agenda? If you've taken Experiencing God, one of the best lines in the whole book, when Blackaby tells us that praying this prayer, and I've been guilty of praying this many times until I did EG, in Experiencing God, is that, God, what is your will for my life? And Blackaby says that is a horrible, horrible prayer request, because the center or the central person in that request is us. It's me. What is your will for my life? Right? The better question to say, God, is what is your will? Period. And then I align my life to God's will. That's how the kingdom works. It's not what is your will for my life. And God has a will for your life. I don't want you to mistake what Blackaby or what I'm trying to say. There's a specific purpose in your life, but the key is what is God's will. If you can find out what God's will is, align yourself to God's will, you'll have an incredible life. That's what it's about. So, Lord, come your kingdom. This issue is the issue of submission. It's submitting ourselves before the Lord. We submit to his will. We align ourselves to him because we want God's priorities to become established in our lives. A lot of times we get sidetracked in this. Think about it this way. Every once in a while, when I'm in a hurry, I'm not going to take my clothes off, so don't worry. You know, every once in a while, when I'm in a hurry, you start off the day and you're really pressed in. And have you ever buttoned your shirt wrong? You know, like did one of these things, and then you went all the way down the line, and then you realize, oh my God, my shirt's all messed up. What do you have to do? You unbutton yourself. It's taking a little longer than I thought. Sorry, right? And then you button it up, and then you're aligned again, and then you look okay, and everything kind of goes into motion. When we talk about God's will, think of it as buttoning your shirt properly. In the sense that when here's God's will, and when we can align ourselves to God's will, things work. You look proper. It's normal. This is what it should be like. Many of us, and as I was praying through this this morning, I got this really strong sense that many of us sitting here right now, your life is a little bit out of whack. It's a little bit off. I don't know why, you know, I didn't really get into it, but it's not centered in some way. There's a couple things, jagged edges. It's missing a few things here and there. And what you need to do is you need to stop. You need to unbutton, and you need to align your life with God. There are some things that you're doing right now that is not a part of God's will. There's some things that you've involved yourself into, and I'm not talking about bad things. This could be necessarily good things. You know, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And there could be some permissible things, but it's not in line with God's will. And so what you need to do today, is to unbutton, unravel, and then realign yourself with God. And then you'll see fullness and fruitfulness and all these things kind of moving along in your life. It's a real simple thing. There's a divine order to this. And this is where a lot of people really kind of miss it in some ways. Now, I'm going to talk about the mission. This is God's mission. This is what God is doing. And so what would happen is that when we think of God's mission, if we come and submit ourselves to God. In other words, it's God's mission. But we come under, that's what the word sub means. It's like submarine, it's coming under, submerse. We're coming under God's vision. And so what happens is when we take God's mission, and this is God's will or whatever you call it, and we come under God's will, that's the first step that we must do. We must come under God's will. As soon as we come under God's will, next thing you know, what God does is he aligns us, and then we get to have what's called co-mission. We get to do it with him. So, but first, we got to come under him. He's got to trust us. So we submit to God, submission, and then we have commission. And then we get to do stuff with God. We get to partner with God. We get to be a part of his will. We get to do amazing things in the name of Jesus. Go off to amazing countries and do things with God. It's an amazing thing. And so this is commission, but you need to have submission first. And then you have commission with God. And then the great thing is once you start doing with God, you realize you need some stuff. How many of you guys know you need some stuff to do stuff with God? YWAM Toon Moon knows they need some stuff right now. And then one next thing you know is when you have commission, God gives you permission. In other words, he says, what do you need for the mission? See, unfortunately what happens is people want permission first. God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. I need this, and on and on and on. But they never learn to have submission. And because they never had submission, God can't trust them. There's no commission, and then there's no permission. And so we get really angry as Christians because we want permission for something, but we never learn to submit ourselves before God. And so the word says, come, your kingdom. Not my kingdom, right? Not my stuff. But let your kingdom come. And then if we would submit and then commission, and then God gives us permission. Don't you? I mean, that's pretty cool, huh? That's great. But don't ever mistake the order by way it comes in. Don't ever mistake the order. I can't tell you how many times I've met people, and we can call it maturity in Christ, and we call it all different things, but it follows this divine order, and they never really learn to submit. But they want to do stuff for God, and they just really don't understand why God doesn't allow them to do stuff. It's because they never really submitted. And then when they were, so they never got to this part, and then the permission, and all these things kind of never happen in that way. So this is the divine order, right? It's come thy kingdom. Lord, be done your will. Not my will. Not the will of the church, but his will. So you got to find that out first. And then, let's talk about the kingdom a little bit. What is the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 4:20, you don't have to turn there, but it says, he came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, in the most simple definition I can give you, the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. The rule and the reign of God. The kingdom of God is active. The kingdom of God is alive. The kingdom of God is working whenever the rule and the reign of God comes to earth. That's what we call the kingdom. And so if you own a business, and this is quite prevalent in the business sector right now, if you own a business and you are operating out of biblical principles, in other words, you pay your employees well, you take care of their needs, you have an atmosphere in your company that's dignified, that's not all about making the buck. You know, these simple principles, when you start operating out of these principles in your business, what happens? The kingdom of God comes. Because what that is, it's the reign and the rule of God operating in your business. Now, that's also prevalent in your marriages. It's prevalent in the church. It's prevalent in the way you do your work. For instance, let's say in your work or your industry, the lying, cheating, stealing, bending the truth and whatnot is normative behavior. But because you're a child of God, you belong to the kingdom of God, you work and operate in a different way, in a different ethos. And when you're operating that way, the rule and reign of God comes down. It's amazing. That's how it works. I was having lunch this week with a lawyer and at church. And we were talking about different things, and in this particular case, this person was going to be sent to Seoul soon, to Korea. But committed believer, loves God, and one of the concerns is, well, the ethos of Korean business, especially in law and these things, are to go drinking heavily afterwards. That's how it gets done. And we're talking about this kind of issue at hand, which is a really present issue for a lot of members of our church that want to be godly, but yet we know in certain cultures, this is how business is done. And I was mentioning to this person, well, I know a few people, very prominent attorneys, lawyers in Hong Kong and other places that are Korean, but totally shun that kind of ethos and that kind of culture, and God has just blessed their life. It's an amazing, what do we call that? What that means, what has happened is the kingdom of God came down upon this person. The rule and the reign of God came down on this person and literally lifted this person up into prominence. That's what happens. And there's manifestations in all different ways and all different things and how it works out. The kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. Let me share with you a theological definition or a theological postulate that's going to really shape your life from this day forward. I know that sounds pretty huge, but I'm telling you, if you understand this, the way you pray, the way you think about God, the way you think about the kingdom will totally change. Because I say this because this happened to me. I read a book years ago by a professor. He used to teach at Fuller. He's deceased now. His name is George Eldon Ladd, and he wrote about the gospel, the kingdom. And he began to talk about the kingdom of God in this way as what we call already here and also yet to come. So say that, already here, but yet to come. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here right now, but it's also yet to come. I'm going to tell you the ramifications of that. This is what we call, and I'm going to give you a fancy word, but I'm going to define it for you. This is what we call inaugurated eschatology. Repeat after me. Inaugurated eschatology. This just might change your life today. Studying theology sometimes is very good. Sometimes it's very bad. But in this case, this is very good. What we mean by inaugurated eschatology is this. The end times, eschatology means the end times, were inaugurated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And thus, there are both already and not yet aspects to the kingdom of God. What Ladd suggests, he suggests that the kingdom of God is not only an eschatological gift, such a difficult word, belonging to the age to come, it's also a gift to be received in this present age. Let me read you a scripture, John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Luke 17:20-21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Who is Jesus talking about? He's talking about himself. He says the kingdom of God is here. It's inaugurated. In other words, when Jesus came to the earth, the end times was inaugurated. It was present in Christ Jesus. And so the kingdom of God is not something that's far off. And so a lot of times, one of the primary views in the scriptures is the kingdom of God is heaven. Yes, the kingdom of God is heaven, but it's also right here, right now on earth. This is what we call inaugurated eschatology. This is important for us to understand because this is the ramifications. Okay, well, let me read you this other quote. This is D.A. Carson from Trinity Seminary. This is what he says. He says, it is not necessary for the believer to wait until the last day to experience something of resurrection life. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you only want to experience resurrection life when you die? How many would like to experience some of that right now? Hallelujah. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so, when we talk about this, inaugurated eschatology, we're talking about that, yes, there is a resurrection for me in the last days. When I die, there is resurrection, but there is also resurrection power available to me today, right now, as I'm speaking. The resurrection power, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me right now, lives in you right now. Amen? Thank you, Daniel. He's the youngest kid in this whole church, and he gets it. Praise God. This is huge to understand. Now, this is why it's important, because this brings us to the theology of power and also the theology of pain. This is how we can understand suffering in our day and age. This is also how we can understand the miraculous in our day and age. Because since the kingdom of God is already here right now, there is a possibility of what the theologians call the inbreak. Right, and I know it sounds such a powerful word, but it's such a simple word, but that's how they describe it. They call it the inbreak of the miraculous into the present. See, because the kingdom of God is here right now, at any moment in time, any moment, the kingdom can inbreak into our present reality right now. In other words, if you're sick, if you have cancer, if you have a terminal illness, at any moment, Because the kingdom of God is here. At any moment, there can be an inbreak of the power of God that can bring healing and salvation and all kinds of wonderful things in the life of the believer and even the non-believer. This is the kingdom of God theology. It's here, but also, since the kingdom is also yet to come, there is still pain and suffering in this world. That's why Jesus says, pray right now that his kingdom can come. When we're praying, come thy kingdom, what we're asking for this inbreak of heaven, the reality of heaven, joy, peace, all these things. We're asking for the inbreak of heaven to penetrate into the reality of our lives today, right now. That's what we're praying for. It's this kingdom of God is here, but it's also yet to come. When I begin to understand this and I begin to really grab a hold of this, it changed my whole prayer life. It wasn't like, God, you're so unfair. Well, why is there suffering? You know, why is all this? If you're a God, you know, we ask all these questions. And you realize, no, because the kingdom of God is here right now, but it's also a future reality. It's a present reality and a future reality. There's something profound there. Let me show you this. In the book of Judges, Gideon, remember the story of Gideon? Gideon's in a wine press. He's hiding from the Midianites. He's threshing wheat because the Midianites would come and steal the harvest at harvest time. He's in that place. An angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, you, my valiant warrior, you go and, you know, do all these things. And then Gideon, remember what he said? He stood in that place and he said, well, if you're God and all these miracles that we've heard about are not taking place right now, but they took place before, and he asked this question, then how can this be? How can you be God, but this is what I'm experiencing in this world? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? I mean, don't we ask that? God, if you're God, if you're all-powerful, and you do all these things, then why am I experiencing death and sadness and depression and all these things around me? Why is all this thing happening? And remember what the angel said? The angel turned to Gideon and says, go in this your strength. Now, God didn't necessarily answer Gideon's question. The angel didn't quite, but he kind of did, because he was sharing with him the kingdom of God reality. Because the kingdom of God is here. Gideon, the kingdom of God is here on you right now. It's also a present reality to come. And what the angel was telling Gideon, and if you've ever thought, and think about this, this is a challenge. If you've ever complained to God about hunger in this world, if you've ever complained to God about sex trade, prostitution, about the way women are treated, you think of all the different kinds of things that happen in the world, bad things. If you've ever complained to God about those things, what God is saying to you is, go, do it. He turned one on you, you know? That's really what's happening. When Gideon says, well, where's your power? Where's all these things? Come on, what is this? And God says, go in this your strength. In other words, he was telling Gideon, you are the answer to the own questions that you have. See, I'm going to display my power. It's going to come through you. Think about this. If you've ever complained about anything, if you saw, I grew up in the United States, and we saw television programs all the time where, like, starving African kids, we saw all the time, Compassion International, there's so many, you know, Feed the Hungry, different ministries, and there was ever something inside of you that said, oh man, that's just wrong. But most times we say, God, what's wrong with you? And God says, what's wrong with you? Go. In this your strength. Because you recognize something is wrong. So come on, go do it, man. Take care of business. I put that seed inside of you to see the injustice. But instead of complaining, go do it. Go in this, your strength. This is kingdom. We are part of, because the kingdom of God is here right now. It's also coming. But the link, if I should say to that, is us and prayer. That's what connects the present and the future realities together. Amen. Do you guys understand that? That's huge to grasp and to grapple. So we ask the question, well, What does the kingdom look like then? What am I praying for when we talk about the kingdom of God? Romans 14, 17. Let's turn there. See, I told you, sometimes theology is pretty darn fun. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. But if you are eating and drinking, that's okay too. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we pray God's kingdom, we're praying for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit to invade our lives, our families, our churches, our nations. It is the reign and rule of God in heaven that must be enacted and live here on earth. You got to understand, people, you have to understand this. There are things, I don't even want to use the word ideas, but there are all kinds of stuff. Maybe that's a good word, just stuff, okay? There's all kinds of stuff that God has for us as a city of Hong Kong, as the people of God at Solomon's Porch, as the Song family, as your family, as individuals. There's all kinds of things, stuff that God has prepared beforehand, that God's laid aside for us. And the only way that stuff gets translated here to earth is through prayer. It's through prayer. There is a lot of righteousness. There's a lot of joy in the Spirit. There's a lot of life that God has for every single one of us that's already been done. And the way that from the been done to actually living it out and experiencing and having it and apprehending it right now on earth comes through prayer. That's why prayer is so important. It's what God has already done. Just think about it. The way that I easily envision it, I envision it like a bunch of boxes, kind of like gifts that God has for me, for us as a nation, us as a church, corporately, individually, all these beautiful things that God has for us that are just waiting for these things to be opened up. That's amazing. For some of you, these boxes are spouses. No one gets excited about that, I guess. Okay, I'll move on. You know, it's promotions. Some of these boxes are provisions. A lot of these boxes are salvations. People that we know and love waiting for us. And the translation of that comes through prayer. That's why prayer is so important. That's why we're spending the whole year on prayer. It's not just a futile religious activity. It affects something around us. Come, thy kingdom. Be done your will. Your will, not my will, your will. On earth as it already has been done in heaven. I mean, just think of all these things that are laid out there. Remember the Bible tells us he is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we could ever ask, imagine. He is the God of extravagance. And that God has all these stuff stored for us, ready for us, anointings, giftings, provisions, salvations, like I said, just waiting for us to pluck it and bring these things here on earth. So we pray God's kingdom, the rule and reign of God in heaven that must be enacted here on earth. We pray what is already done in heaven. We must hear God's voice. Find out what God's will is. Remember Paul said in Ephesians, try to find what is pleasing to the Lord. Find out what his will is, what's already been done in heaven, and bring that down to earth in prayer. Bring it down in prayer. Mark 11, verse 22 and 24. Let's turn there real quickly. Mark 11, 22 and 24. Mark 11, 22, this is what he says. Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have, past tense, receive them, and they shall be granted you. This is a whole different way of praying. Believe that you have already received them. I know I always share this story because it's quite personal to me, but you guys know the whole story with my wife and I. For some, I don't know what was going on with her, but she didn't really like me when we met. And, you know, I think bordering on insanity in some ways, in any case. And so, but God had spoken to me very, very clearly and said, this is going to be your wife. Now, listen, just because God says something to you does not give you permission to say it to somebody else. That's a really key point. If it's God's bill, or if it's God's will, it's God's bill. I don't have to help God. Because a lot of times people use this to manipulate other people. Well, God said that you're going to be my wife, you know, and so you better obey God or else your life is over, you know. I mean, and these type of things happen just because, listen, just because God speaks to you does not give you permission to share it. When do you get permission to share it? It's when God speaks to you again to share it. That's the easiest way I can explain it to you. And so in this context, I knew, and this is what happened. I was actually, we were in Colombia, in Bogota, Colombia. And we were ministering, or we were receiving ministry by quite a well-known minister from England. And he had some prophetic people with him. And Lisa was part of our team that was there. And she really didn't want anything to do with me. Or maybe she wanted a little bit to do with me, but not that much. And all of a sudden, what happened was the guy turned, or the girl, the lady, the prophetic lady, turned to me. And I used to wear my ring on my right hand. And this was my promise ring, you know, promising before the Lord to wait and all these things. And so the lady turned to me and she said, take your ring off, Sam. And so, oh man, sorry. I don't ever wear this on this hand. Oh, I gained 5 pounds when I was in LA. Okay. So he says, take it off this hand. And she put that ring on my right hand, on my left hand, and basically said, done deal. It's a done deal. And Lisa was right there. And so she's sweating, right? Because she knows. And so I kept it. That's a true story. I kept it on my left hand as an act of faith. I wasn't married yet, but prophetic person says it's a done deal. God had already spoken to me about this. It's done. And so I acted as if it was already done. And so when I prayed, I didn't pray for Lisa Lee. I prayed for Lisa Song. Because it's a done deal. I never prayed it out loud. You guys understand? That's a huge difference, right? So I'm not trying to manipulate something in the spirit. I was at a church and said, you know, when I came up to pray for the offering, Lord, thank you, especially for Lisa Song. You know, I didn't say any of those things, but just like the Bible says, it says that act like you've already received it. It says, and it shall be given to you. Pretty cool verse. And so I acted like I had already received. It's a done deal. She's my wife. And so when I would pray for her, I would pray privately. I would thank God for Mrs. Song, for Mrs. Lisa Song. And just so you know that I'm not a false prophet, we got married, right? Now, if we didn't get married, then I think you can question my, you know, ability to hear God, but that's how it works. All things you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. In other words, you already figured out heaven's will. Or I should say, not you've already, because that's more self-centered. God has revealed himself to us about his will, and then you act like you received it. I shared this illustration of a friend who was a pastor in the States, and he had TMJ. And that's the jaw thing, where it was quite difficult. And he woke up one morning, and his jaw was just killing him. And he went to service that day, and as he was praying, he felt God speak to him, says, done, you're healed. And so he's excited, but he tests his jaw. It's like, oh, man, it still hurts. And he's moving around, oh, I'm still in pain. And so he has to now think through this process. There is a small R reality that my jaw hurts right now, but there's the big R reality that God says you're healed. He woke up every single morning testing the Word of God. Woke up and checked out, oh, my jaw still hurts, but I'm healed in Jesus' name. This is the Word of God. I'm healed. And he did this over a period of time, and then one day he woke up, and boom, it was gone. No medication, no doctor, no nothing. Not that that's bad. I mean, those are good things too. But because he had received this word from God, this was God's will. This was what already had been done in heaven. He recognized, and so he lived out as if he was healed. And so he would eat meat, you know, whatever, and oh, my jaw's, no, I'm not hurting. You know, he's not trying to convince himself of a reality that's happening. He's trying to appropriate God's word into his life. Something happened. Now, I know what you're thinking. I think the same thing. This could be very, very dangerous. I understand that. That's why you should submit all things to your leaders and you know, follow the proper protocol and whatnot. Because we could very easily mistake what God is saying to us in that way. All right. But like I said, if it's God's will, it's God's will. No need to manipulate anyone. So when we command God's will to be done and for his kingdom to come, again, what we're doing is we're submitting ourselves before him and we're trusting in his wisdom, his goodness, and his character to bring about the best in our lives. We can command because we know God's will on a matter and it's for the kingdom, not for ourselves. Amen? Let's practice this a moment. Let's practice some command prayer. Can I ask you to rise? Can I ask the worship team to come up? I don't have as much time as I would like, but that's okay. You guys ready to practice some command, otherwise known as Korean-style prayer? We're going to pray over a couple of different subjects today. And I want you to get into a command mode. Now, this is not in conjunction with volume. So just because you're loud does not necessarily mean you're commanding. You guys understand what I'm saying? But it could be loud because the command actually comes from our heart. It comes from the conviction that runs deep within. And so we're going to command. Now, we obviously know that God loves Hong Kong. We're going to pray for Hong Kong first. We know that God loves Hong Kong. How many of you guys don't know that? Just read your Bible, okay? You'll find out real quick. And we know that God wants to move upon this city that we live in. And we believe the word of God. God wants people to be saved here in Hong Kong. He desired that none would perish. We can understand this is God's will. I mean, can we agree with this? This is God's will for this city. That even as a prophetic statement, that when Hong Kong, it says it's the gateway city of Asia, we say that wasn't some marketing guy that came up with that idea. That was God. That this is the gateway to Asia. In the sense that the gospel, the things of God are going to flow, especially into China, from this place right here, right now. And so what we're going to pray, if you are convinced, if you're not convinced, then there's no way that you can command something. But if you're convinced that this is the gateway to Asia, that this is what God is doing, and Hong Kong is going to be this place where the gospel is going to be spread and people are going to get saved, we're going to command. We're going to step into this mode. We believe, we already sense, his will is already spoken about in this particular case. And so now we just, and this is the fun part of, like, you take credit for what God has already done. It's pretty cool. There's a whole other theological names for that I don't want to get into right now. But we take credit for what God has already done. And now we step in and we command over Hong Kong that his will be done. That people will get saved. That this would be the launching pad of the gospel all throughout Asia. And incidentally, that's part of our vision as a church as well. That's why we want to plant churches all over Asia. Because this is not only the mandate of the city, it's a mandate over our church. And so can we do that? And you got to step into command mode. Amen? You guys ready? And so now, everyone is different, so you don't have to do it like I do or whatnot. But what I want you to get a sense of a conviction about God, about something for Hong Kong. And so let's just spend a moment and let there be a conviction about something. It could be an individual's name in Hong Kong that needs to be saved, or whatever, but I want you to get a conviction of God that this is God's will. It's already been done. And we're going to command something to happen in this place right now over this city that's going to bring the will of God and translate it and activate it here on earth right now. Amen? So let's close our eyes and let's just focus on God, and let's just get ourselves in the Spirit of God. If you need to use your prayer language, you can go ahead and do that. But we're going to step into to something of God that He wants manifested right now over Hong Kong. Not my will, but His will. Not your will, but His will. And some of you guys are already on it. I mean, things are just flowing out of you. And instead of before just praying, oh, please, God, no more. No more please. Please is already done. God has already done it, so now you just command it to come right now. Amen? And so as soon as you get an unction of God over a matter, a conviction over a matter, just begin to command right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now let's begin to go to the level. Let's go over. Let's pray over the church now. Pray over our nation. Let's just pray for our church. Let's pray for something in Solomon's porch that relates to God, that's His will, that's not quite being manifest right now. Just stay in this place in God. And as a church, and maybe you're not part of this body, pray for your church, wherever it may be. And ask God that something supernatural would occur. The will of heaven over this body would flow. Now, obviously, there are some non-tangible, right, things that are just very clear to us. One being the issue of unity. So maybe just for easier, because I get a lot of blank faces, let's just pray over that issue right there. That's pretty clear in the scriptures that we should be united, that there should be harmony. And so let's pray right now for the church, and not just this church. Let's just pray for churches all over Hong Kong will be united in God. That the unity of the Spirit. We don't have to all agree on everything, but we agree with God. And that's how unity happens. And so let's command a blessing over the church, our church, and churches in general, that there will be unity. Unity amongst one another, but also unity within the church. That people know the vision of God in this place and align themselves with God's vision in this place. So let's command that right now. Let's go before the Lord and command a blessing out of that conviction of our hearts. I think one thing you'll find is when you know God's will on a matter, your prayers actually are really not that long. It's just like, I'm not talking about speed prayer or anything like that. But because you know what God's heart is, you don't waste time. You just get right to the point. You just command. This last one, let's bring it home to ourselves now. This could be in relation to your family. It could be in relation to something that's going on in your life right now. And so let's pray His kingdom come and whatever's going on. You receive something from heaven. You have an assurance of something in God, in the Spirit. And I want you to pray that and manifest that and command that will to be done on earth. Now, if you don't know or are unsure, that's okay. But I'm talking about you have a conviction of something. God has spoken to you about something, revealed Himself to you in His Word, pertaining to yourself or to your family, your unit. I want you to pray that purpose right now over that thing. Can we do that? Let's pray over ourselves or our family that you're convicted, that you're sure of, that the heaven has revealed Himself to you. And let's release that right now. For some of you, it could be having kids. For some of you, it could be a financial thing. For some of you, it could be a healing issue, a family member or whatnot. Let's command right now. And let's pray for one another. I'm just going to choose this. We could choose a lot of different topics. I'm just going to choose this one. But we can pray His kingdom come over some of us today. And today I was talking about submission, commission, permission. There's some of us here and we need some stuff. God's giving us permission. We've already submitted. We've already been doing it with. And now we just need some stuff. We have permission now. And especially in the area of finances. And if that's where you're at right now, I just want you to raise your hand. Raise both hands higher, whatever you need to do. And I want the church, I want you to gather around these people. Just look around. Keep your hands raised. And I want you to come. Just get out of your seats and just begin to touch these ones that our hands are raised. Let's move about right now. Come on, church. Let's move around. And just lay hands on these ones. And keep your hands raised. Now this is, you've already heard from God and now the permission. And so instead of saying, God, pretty please, say, Lord, finances be released now in Jesus' name. You command a blessing to flow. Let's pray for one another right now. Come on, church, get out of your seats. Let's find some people and let's release something. Submissions occur, commission is happening, and now God is giving you permission. Whatever for the mission. And so, Lord, we ask you to release right now in Jesus' name. Let there be a supernatural wave and flow of finances, of stuff that they will need for the mission. Not for themselves, but for the mission. And so release now in Jesus' name. Go ahead, church. Start commanding it right now in this place.
Show.
Got it. You live like you already have it. You apprehend that in you. In fact, let's just, in this moment that we have, let's just thank God in advance right now. Just say, Lord, I thank you for that provision. I thank you for that stuff, God, that you've given me permission now. I thank you for that. And just begin to thank the Lord right now. God, we thank you, God. We thank you for... Thank you, Father. We thank you for what you've already done, been doing, what you're still doing right now. Your word says the Father is working even now. You're doing something. We ask, God, that that would be translated here to earth in our life. And so we thank you in advance for all the wonderful things, the permission that you give to us, God. We're so unworthy, but we're so loved by you. So thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. Let's sing the Lord's Prayer as we close our service today.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. Shalom. From this day forever, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. How many of you guys feel different right now than you did when you came in? You know why? That's the reign and rule of God. You just experienced the kingdom of God. Amen. I want you to hug your neighbor and say, man, I just experienced the kingdom of God today. Praise God. Please join us for some refreshments in the back. New people, join us in the lounge. Have a great week this week.